right. Generational talent, week 7 of the NFL, which was yet again another unpredictable week in the NFL because there has not been, in my opinion, any predictability in this season aside from the Jets being bad, which you can always count on. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm used to you using a... Okay, go ahead and talk now.
There we go. There sorry about that. That is my fault. I was sitting in a different chair last time.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. but no, the Jets being bad is pretty much the only accountable thing you have for this NFL season, which to me, it's good and bad, right? Bad because my Seahawks should be better, but good because at least there is parity. The worst thing right now is that Kansas City obviously seems to be back to their old form and with all of their weapons healthy. They are one of the healthiest teams in the NFL right now, which is... honestly infuriating.
Does it say, and I should know this, but in your lead-in, does it say who we are? We never even say that when we jump on the air.
I said, welcome back to Generational Talent Week 7.
In terms of our names.
So. Oh, well, if you don't know who we are, I'm Tommy Crowder, and I'm joined by my father.
Travis Crowder. I just thought about that. I'm like, you know, we might take it for granted. You know, we're kind of rookies at some of this stuff. Well, at least I am. I'm big time a rookie.
I was going to say, if this is your first ever episode of Generational Talent, thank you for joining us. We break down the NFL every single week on Tuesdays. We do our top 10 takeaways, our betting favorites, and then we finish up with our power rankings as well as just talking some crap. But overall, we're a fun podcast that is dedicated to sports lovers, specifically the NFL. We don't really cover anything else. The show only runs through the NFL season. And of course, we'll probably do a special episode come draft time or any other crazy postseason moves.
Which is fun stuff. And it's always, sometimes there's generational takes. He'll see things differently than I do and vice versa. I'm a little older than he is. But I would say this, the football season is flying by too quick. When you say that was week 7, it's like, oh, yeah, yoy.
Yeah, no, unfortunately it has gone by rather quickly. But luckily every week has been exciting to say the
great
least.
Great games. Well, you know how it goes. There's football season and then there's the rest of the year.
Exactly. So right off the bat, we're going to jump into the generational talent top 10 takeaways. These are the craziest things that I think happened over the NFL season. I'll ask my father about his
season
thoughts.
Or week.
Week. And I'll ask my father about his thoughts. So first off, we have an honorable mention. Honorable mention goes out to head coach Vrabel with his revenge win over the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a revenge win, too. They thumped them up and down that field pretty much the whole game.
And also, double shout-out to Austin Hooper, who had a revenge touchdown against the Titans as well.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right.
And
a nice one, too.
Speaking of Austin Hooper, what a weekend for tight ends. Holy cow, tight ends went off. You look at the Cardinals game, and you've got, obviously, Trey McBride just tearing it up, but also against the Packers and their brand-new tight end.
Kraft.
Mm-hmm. Tucker Kraft. I mean, a battle of the tight ends. Those are the only two doing anything.
And I got one that will surprise you. Came out of nowhere. Because we do a lot of fantasy football around here too. And I tell you, I guarantee you don't know. Tommy, are you familiar with, I love the guy's name too, Aronde Gadsden?
I heard his name this morning, but it was one of those like, who is this guy and why did he go off?
Tight end for the Chargers.
Yeah.
7 catches, 164 yards, and a touchdown.
I'll tell you what, people saw Brock Bowers last year and they're like, no, we got to up our game because tight ends are going off this year. They're looking great. Jake Ferguson, talk about a touchdown machine.
No, they were tight ends. You're right. I think it was actually tight end week 2 or something. I heard it.
Tight ends day? I thought that's coming up still.
Or maybe it is coming up.
It definitely could have been the way they were going off. Yeah. And then even in our game, the tight end for Dalton Schultz, open all the time.
Yep.
But great weekend for tight ends.
And that game, speaking of tight ends, that was the game. Remember, that was the game where the Chargers lost to the Colts. Who's the Colts tight end? Well, that'd be Tyler Warren, another stud.
Absolute stud.
Yep. Going to probably be up there for rookie of the year discussion too.
Generational talent, top 10 takeaways. Number 10, going to dedicate it to the dime thrower himself. Danny Dimes does it again. Indianapolis Colts in a game where you look at that stat line, you look at what the Chargers did
right here. He went 23 for 34, 288 yards, 2 TDs, no picks.
And now tell me, was that Herbert or that was Daniel Dimes?
That was Daniel Dimes.
Now go ahead and read Herbert's stat line if you have it available.
Yeah, his one, he went off too. And he lost.
Yeah.
37 for 55, 420 yards, 3 TDs, but 2 picks.
And that's the thing, the hassle is you see that stat line, aside from the picks, right, that many touchdowns, that many yards, you'd never assume that was a losing game. But those 2 picks, talk about crucial picks and the timing when they happened. Huge drives ended by them.
And also, it's bad for the Chargers in that same game. Here's the difference maker. Your leading rusher with 31 yards
was Herbert.
Yeah. Your second guy had 20 yards on 9 carries, whereas Jonathan Taylor had 94 yards on 16 carries along with 3 more rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, that dude, absolute beast.
He's got 10 touchdowns already, and we're only a third of the way through. He's on track for 30 touchdowns as a running back.
No, he's having an insane season. The Indianapolis Colts, obviously number one team in the NFL right now, technically tied in terms of the amount of losses with the Packers, but Packers have a tie. Ties are stupid. But Indianapolis Colts absolutely killing it.
They're the number one seed in the AFC right now. Oh, yeah,
firing on every cylinder possible.
Yeah. Oh, I'm eating crow because I thought they were good. I didn't think they were this good.
Yeah, no, not at all. Up next, I have Baker Mayfield's loss. Now, this is a loss a lot of people are going to, you know, I've seen it on social media already. Oh, you know what? He crumbled. This is what we're used to seeing. I'm sorry. If you're anything except for, you know, accepting of the fact that Baker Mayfield had to lose this game, I mean, what was this man supposed to do? No weapons. Mike Evans goes down with the collarbone injury against Detroit in Detroit. This is not a knock on Baker, the Buccaneers, or anything. This was a impossible game to win.
How about your receiving core of rookie Tez Johnson?
Yeah, he was the only touchdown scorer, I think, in terms of
Sterling Shepard, who, how many teams has he been on?
Yeah.
Ryan Miller, this is your receivers.
Yeah.
Your leading receiver in terms of catches was your tight end, Kate Otten.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
there we go, tight ends again.
let's be real. I mean, what are you supposed to do?
So, yeah, no, if anybody thinks that Baker Mayfield fell off, you're wrong. This was a hard game. This man is doing everything he can with zero weapons in the field.
Correct.
We've got the next one here is Aaron Rodgers getting tackled by his O-linesman after throwing that beautiful touchdown pass, and then he gets super pissed off about it.
He was such a jerk. He's such a jerk anyways. I mean, the guy was excited. Yes, he took him down. I guess he's old, but how do you scream and yell at your offensive lineman who protects you throughout the game? He's just excited with you. Sure, he might have took you down. It's not his fault you're geriatric.
And to me, like, Aaron Rodgers, you've built this
prima donna.
You know, you've built this image of yourself to where it doesn't matter. Even if you were in the right, like, yeah, should he have tackled you? No, you're 300 something pounds. You probably shouldn't be tackling your older quarterback. But you're just such a jerk, Aaron Rodgers, that nobody cares. Yeah. Nobody cares if you're in the right. You're just an ass.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was celebrating. He got a little worked up. I mean, what a great problem to have.
And then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to apologize. Now, it's probably the only time I'm going to go ahead and give this man any kudos, but I did enjoy this. It was Patrick Mahomes' acting job on that fourth down play. Did you see that one?
When he dropped the word he shouldn't have dropped, yeah.
This play never freaking works, didn't say freaking. Yeah. And then immediately tricks him into running the play. I did love that. And then I don't know if you saw his post-game interview where somebody had asked him, where'd you get the acting chops? And he's like, oh, the State Farm commercials.
Well, that's kind of funny, actually. Well, he's not bad in those, actually.
And so to me, I will give him credit. I thought that play was clever, and I enjoyed the way he handled himself.
Yeah, that was a disgusting game.
For generational talents, number 6 takeaway, I have the hero of the week, and that would be the referee. And I am spacing his name, and I had it remembered. It was Doug
Nate or something, or
oh, maybe it is Nate Johnson
or Miller or something Nate, like that. Yeah,
I don't know.
Nobody knows referees' names. Yeah,
I'll look him up before we get into the second segment. But the referee who saved Jackson Smith and Jigba's life,
our boy.
I tell you, Jackson Smith, you know, getting his freaking face mask pulled all the way to the sidelines and then being tossed around, you know, it pissed me off. Just such trashy
moves.
They
flagged that guy for doing that.
Yeah, and again, it's just classic Texans. It wasn't Al Shaair, but he's one of the Texans who's just such a scuzzbag. But at the same time, that referee went ahead and blocked JSN with his whole body, making sure he didn't get hurt, which thank God for that. Maybe the ref had some parlays going on JSN and really needed to save his bets. I couldn't tell you, but I appreciated him doing that.
Yeah. I was trying to look up who it was, but, was it Wingard?
No, it was, I searched him up last night. It should still be Nate Jones. That's his name. Nate Jones.
Oh no, I was talking about the defensive guy.
Sorry. Nate Jones is the referee, the hero.
I said Nate.
Yeah. See. Okay. There we go. So all of you need to find Nate Jones on social media and give him love.
Yes, he was a mama bear.
And then we've got number 5, the Icy Hot Bowl, which again was the Joe Flacco versus
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Yes. A game of two very old quarterbacks. This was a game title you'd think we would see, or, you know, a matchup you'd think we'd see back in like 2015, but here we are 10 years later. And
it was entertaining though. It wasn't bad.
One of the best games.
And Flacco got him.
Yes. The Browns. Yep. Or the Bengals.
The Bengals won. Yeah.
And then at the same time, as we're talking about old QBs going back, we also had Carson Wentz playing for the Vikings and Andy Dalton playing for the Panthers. So this was just an interesting NFL week of a bunch of old quarterbacks.
Some of which are still going to be there, too, because Andy Dalton's going to be, it looks like Bryce Young's going to be down for a couple weeks.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Next, we have, for the top 3 takeaway, we have the Broncos and Giants fourth quarter chaos. That was an insane game. Broncos obviously got an NFL record for the most points scored unanswered, not unanswered, but comeback-wise in the fourth quarter. Insane back and forth between those two teams. Defense, where did anybody go? Because it was all offense they for vanished. The last 5 minutes.
And it was one of those games, like, if you're in, again, fantasy leaguers and stuff, you couldn't believe what was happening. You're like, what in the world is going on here?
Changed, I'm sure, plenty of projections that night. Yep. Number two, we have the Mariners losing, but the Seahawks winning. So Seattle is just a mess of emotions right now, folks. But Seahawks did come through for us on Monday Night Football in the later night window there, which, again, if you're on the East Coast, that really sucks for you. Over here on the West Coast, it was a late game, but it was a good game. Talk about a defensive game in that second half. First half offense was there, second half not so much.
Yeah, it was sloppy. I mean, it was really sloppy in terms of offense. Defense was awesome.
Yes. Beautifully done defensively. Shout out to...
we got three more sacks for our defense, which puts us... we are third in the league for sacks as a team, nice. Which is just great. And the pressure we put on that poor kid, Stroud, was just running for his life the whole time.
And Lumen Field, famous field for the most false starts from
they've had
teams.
That record forever.
We're almost at, I think, 300. It was like 297 or something.
Yeah, it's way up there. It's number one by far.
And then Ty Okuda with the game-saving grab of the football when they were about to score on us in the end zone there. We have such a solid defense, guys. It's really nice. Reek Woolen finally looked good in a game.
He did look good.
Hopefully he can keep that up. Yep. And then for my final one, and I know he's on a cruise, so he can't hear me, but my number one top 10 takeaway, Tua Tagovailoa falls apart right after throwing his teammates under the bus in a press conference. I'd like to read to you, Dad, the stats for Tua this season. Would you like to know how many touchdowns
he has?
I know
somebody worse, but go ahead.
11 touchdowns compared to 10 interceptions.
I know somebody worse.
Who do you know worse than that?
Geno Smith.
In terms of for the season?
Oh, yeah.
What's his stats?
You go ahead and keep going, and I'll bring it up.
So just so you guys know, in this last game, Tua was benched in favor of some nobody that was a backup QB after he went 3 interceptions, 0 touchdowns, 100 yards, and a passer rating of 24.1. But overall this season, it's been kind of a mess. You started off with 2 interceptions, followed up by an interception for the next 2 games against the Patriots, the Bills. Finally had 2 games against the Jets and the Panthers where he was able to score a total of 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. But again, you're playing the Panthers and the Jets. That's to be expected. Comes right back into the Chargers where he does one touchdown for 3 interceptions and then finally falls apart on the Browns. And it comes right after his pivotal throwing of his teammates under the bus. I don't see how this is anybody else's fault but Tua. If I'm his teammates, I'm not going to be protecting this dude. This guy cannot throw a pass. He cannot read a book.
What's his quarterback rating? That'll tell you.
For that last game or for his season?
Season.
82.8.
See, I told you I got somebody worse. Geno. 1,417 yards so far, 7 TDs, 10 interceptions, quarterback rating of 77.
Interesting. Well, and again, both benchable QBs, both QBs that right now you're looking at glorified backups at this point in time.
I just don't know what I'm like. You guys got the Jets, Geno, and yeah, I know it's rough. And poor Nick, you're beating up poor Nick again.
I am beating up poor Nick, but I've said it for a while. Tua Tagovailoa, not a good quarterback. Mike McDaniel, not a good coach. The Miami Dolphins, dysfunctional as all heck. And you know what? We still mark the Jets as worse than them. So if you're a Dolphins fan, take solace in the fact that at least you're not a Jets fan.
Well, I tend to agree. I mean, the Jets are the worst team.
The Jets are by far the worst team.
Yeah, their defense is good. Their defense is very good.
But with that hit on Sauce Gardner, that's going to hurt. Yeah. Is he out for a little bit?
I just know that those guys, that's the only thing that keeps them in all their games, and they do keep it low scoring. So one side of the ball is good, you know, so I would say that. But it's Tennessee's probably, in my opinion, the worst team out there. They're bad.
Tennessee is rough. And with that, Dad, did you have any other takeaways before we get into some betting?
I think you had some good ones. The ones I did have, you already mentioned. So this time I kind of buttoned up and figured out he might bring it up.
Hey, look at me. I'm nailing him.
Generational talent.
All right, folks. We're going to catch you guys in the second segment where we talk our betting favorites. And we're back. Generational talent segment 2. We're talking betting odds and favorites. So last week, Dad, you and I had placed our bets live on air, which we'll do again this week. We also did our prediction for the Seattle Seahawks game's final score, and you won that. The final score for the Seahawks-Texans games was 19-27. Seahawks obviously took the victory. I thought Seahawks would win 21-7. You thought they would win 24-21. So you were much, much closer.
I was almost on it, right on it, yep.
And then we also had our paid bets, which go ahead and give us
this is our time. We're going to do it again. We're going to actually do these bets, put our money where our mouth is. And I can tell you, I lost my money where my mouth is. Although I did hit a different 3-teamer. but this one, the one I went on the air with. first one for me anyways, I took the Jets. I was big on them getting on the win here and getting one. And no, they just decided to lose 13-6 in another boring game.
Boring.
Just like when they played the Broncos. I swear, boring. That team plays such boring football. I'm sorry. Yeah,
no, it's not even fun. Like, blah. Like, I will give this to Tua and all them. At least it's funny when the Dolphins lose because it's just interceptions and goofy bad play.
And you do see, I mean, A-Chain's good. I mean, you do have some talent on that team that does do some scoring.
But man, the Jets, it's like, y'all can't even lose in a fun way. No. You're just boring all around.
It's root canal stuff.
The funniest part was when I guess like they almost decapitated Justin Fields with that one hit. Like, holy cow. So the Jets cost you. So the one that cost me, I had the Steelers winning by 5.5. Obviously they lost because, God forbid, Aaron Rodgers pull it together and you saw it coming.
I didn't see it coming, huh?
Well, you had mentioned that you didn't think it was going to be an easy.
I didn't think they'd cover the spread. Yeah. Correct. I didn't think they covered, but I didn't think Cincinnati was going to win.
No.
On mine, here's one I didn't get. I thought Denver was going to destroy, Giants. Thought they were going to destroy them.
And that's the one I won because I had Giants +7. Yep, so
you got it.
There it is.
Yep, they did come back. Denver did come back to win it, but nope. So I'm 0-2 at this point.
And then my final one, which I did get, was the Seahawks winning by at least 3.5.
3.5. And the one I did get, good call. Yeah, on that one. The one I did get was the Eagles winning by 2, and they won by 6.
Very good.
So that's one I did get. So, yeah, 1-3, not the best betting odds. But, again, just like you said, we're going to go through the spreads here, and then we'll pick our three that we're actually going to bet on live on the air. We'll run the ticket.
Yes, sir.
You just tell me when you're ready there, stud.
All right, good. Go ahead and let's run through those spreads.
Thursday night's game right now. We've got the Chargers, 3.5-point favorite over the Vikings in L.A., over under 44.5.
You know,
can do over unders, too, if you want.
You know, on this one, man, that's a hard one, too, because, like, the Chargers are just so hot and cold, it's really hard to really know, and the Vikings are the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
They're two teams that you just... I wouldn't want to place too much money on. What was the over-under?
44.5.
I'd probably just go under on that one, under, honestly. Under
is what you would do? Okay. All right. Yeah, that I don't know either.
Have good defense.
Yeah, if
so
you're
I
gonna,
don't think it's
yeah,
going to
be
high
scoring. Make me bet on that game, I'd probably take the Chargers, but begrudgingly.
Yeah, it's not one I would ever just put a bet on.
Right. It's going to be an interesting Thursday night game. All right. Next up, we got Sunday's game. We got the Miami Dolphins, your Dolphins, at the Atlanta Falcons. And the Falcons are a 7-point favorite over under, again, 44.5.
Again, if it's the Falcons that beat the Bills, that's a different story. If it's the Falcons that just played like garbage against a banged up 49ers team, I don't know what to think. I do think it's an easy win over the Dolphins, though. What do they have to win by?
It's a 7.
A whole touchdown. Tutty? I mean, I don't know. I think I'd probably just go for the 7. I think they can do it. I think they can beat them by a touchdown.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of like Atlanta in that one. I'm not going to bet on that one, but
I wouldn't touch that.
You're next up. We have the New York Jets, your Jets, right? At the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, there's a game. Cincinnati's a 6.5. You know you're in trouble when Flacco's Cincinnati Bengals are a 6.5-point favorite against your Jets in Cincinnati. Again, the over-under 44.5. All three of those games have been.
I mean, I would do the under on the 44.5. I think those are two very good defenses and garbage offenses. I don't think that's going to be a high-scoring game at all.
Yeah, you do wonder when Brown's going to show up as a running back here.
Well, that would be nice.
He got a little bit. But, yeah, I'm not touching that game either. If I had to, if you put a gun to my head, I would probably go with the Bengals.
There you go.
Next up, Cleveland Browns at New England. New England's a 7-point favorite. This one is 40.5 is the over-under.
You know, I think if Drake May is going to keep playing the way he's playing, I would take the Patriots with a touchdown. But again, it's not one I would go out of my way to bet on. But if I had to, I'd go Patriots to cover that.
And that, believe it or not, too, just so you know, 40.5 is not the lowest total this week. I'll let you know on that one. Okay. I like New England to destroy these guys. I think that defense is going to beat up that poor Gabriel kid. The rookie's going to have a hard time with them. So I like the Patriots.
All right.
Next up, we have the Buffalo Bills -7.5 on the road in Carolina. And it looks like they're going with the Red Rocket. Dalton is going to be their quarterback, and over under 45.5.
I mean, yeah, I wish the spread wasn't so big of 7.5 points, but I would pick the Bills to cover that. I could see that being a blowout, especially just because I think Josh Allen needs to get a really good victory right now. And I think the Panthers are an easy team to do that to.
I think so, too. I think that I'd be surprised if the Bills just don't demolish them in a situation like that. So I'm going Bills all the way. Next up, we got the San Francisco 49ers. They get a point and a half in Houston against the Texans, over under 41 and a half.
God, man.
They know something we don't know.
This is a very difficult NFL year. You know,
it's difficult picking against the Niners. I can't figure them out.
That's the thing. Like, I mean,
they keep getting hurt more and they keep winning.
I think, honestly, I'd probably just do the under of 41 under. And a half.
Yeah, that might be good, too. Next up, here we go. Your beloved Giants. But they get 7. They're on the road in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a -7 favorite, over under 44 even.
Nah, dude, it's the Giants. They're easily going to.
You like them.
I think so. I think Cam Scadabo is going to run all over these clowns. And, you know, defensively wise, they're not the best in the business. I'm not saying it's going to be a tight, tight game. It is. I don't know. It's going to be high scoring. I would say that much.
You think over 44?
I would say so. But I really do think the Giants can pull it off.
I think opposite on this one. I think Philly's going to get them. But I, you know, I got burned last week picking against the Giants, so don't be surprised. Next up, we have the Bears, +6.5 in Baltimore. Baltimore -6.5. I'm assuming Lamar's back because this was, remember, they're coming off their bye, and his was just a hammy. So I would think he's going to be back. The over and under for that game is 50. Yeah. 5-0.
Holy cow. You know, it's hard to say because, I mean, obviously Lamar wasn't even playing that good when he was healthy, so I don't want to give too much credit to those Ravens regardless of injury. I mean, I'd probably just do the under of 50. That seems awfully high.
The under of 50, it is high.
Mainly because there's not a lot of offense happening on both of those teams. So.
Yeah, right, right. And that's not, by half a point, that's not the highest point spread of the week. Or highest over under.
I see the highest point spread coming up.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah. Okay. Next up, we have Tampa Bay at New Orleans. Tampa Bay is a 4.5 point favorite on the road. 46.5 is the over under.
Is Bucky Irving back by then?
I don't know about her. I know. I'm pretty sure Godwin's back, and he's got Igbuka, so he's got two of his receivers. I'm not sure, and he still does have White.
You know. He wins them so close. That's the hard part. I don't think he's going to cover that spread. At the same time, you know, the money line's a garbage odd, so I don't know if I'd want to touch that. God.
I guess give me the spread. You'd avoid this game if you were saying you'd avoid it completely.
I mean, give me Tampa Bay winning by at least 4.5. I just, man, they tend to win by like a field goal. Yeah.
Next up, here we go. We got, and I'm with you. I like Tampa Bay too. Next one, we got a big one. 14-point favorite, Indianapolis Colts at home against the Tennessee Titans, over under 47.
Man, a 14-point spread is crazy. But I wouldn't want to, I would never want to bet on the Titans. They're garbage. No, give me my boy Danny Dimes. He'll cover two tutties.
You like it? Yeah, I like him too on that one. Next up, we have the Dallas Cowboys on the road. Oh, this is going to be a good game. In Denver. Denver's a 3.5-point favorite, over under. This is your high one of the day. Of the week, I mean, over under 50.5.
I definitely think it'll be the high scoring one.
Yeah, fantasy leaguers are going to love this matchup.
You know, personally, give me Dallas +3.5. I mean, Broncos play well in the fourth quarter, but they do not play well in those first three. And I think Dallas is going to be able to just run up a score the entire game.
Okay. All right. Well, stay tuned. I'm going Denver on that one.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. Next up, Green Bay Packers -3 on the road in Pittsburgh, over under 44.5. That is the Sunday night game, too. Another good game, by the way. There's some good games this week.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go. I'm going to go Packers. I think the Packers will be able to cover that spread. It's a field goal. But that's going to be a good game. It'll be a close game.
Yeah. I kind of like Pittsburgh at this one on the road, both to win and that bet. So I might even take the money line. I kind of like that one.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, the Washington Commanders, and I'm not sure if – I think they're without Jaden Daniels. I think it's Mariota. Pretty sure it's going to be Mariota. On the road against the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are a 10.5-point favorite, over under 47.5.
Yeah. The Chiefs playing the way they are, it's kind of hard to go against them. I think they're playing a good team, a better team than what they've been playing. But, yeah, I don't know. I'd probably just go with the safe bet there and just take the Chiefs.
Chiefs are rolling, and I think especially if Daniels isn't in, nothing against Mariota, but I think the Chiefs are too strong a team. Their defense is too good.
Yeah.
Okay, and that, are you ready for? Oh, no, that was it. That was the Monday night game. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that being said, we went through them. I got my three. Do you have your three that you're going to bet on? And we're going to do this live. Well, when we go to break, because I don't want to get confused. But we're going to do this one on the show. We're going to take these bets for our William Hill parlays. Tommy Boy, who do you got for your first one?
So my first one, I am taking Dallas. to you know, have that 3.5 point spread in their favor. I think they're going to win. But if they lose, I think it'll be by a field goal and not more than that.
Okay. Here's my thing. I said it on the air and I'll say it right now. I'm taking Denver. I like Denver's chances here. I think this might be the momentum they needed to start playing some real good offensive football. Their defense is already there. I do think they're going to cover. I wouldn't be surprised though if this ends up being a slinging deal back and forth, but I do like Denver -3.5.
Okay. My next one, I do have the New York Giants +7. I just think there's a good chance they could beat the Eagles. And if they don't, I do not see the Eagles beating them by anything more than a touch. I don't see it happening.
All right. My second one in my three-leg parlay, I like the Bills -7.5 against the Carolina Panthers, especially if they do, well, they're not going to have Bryce Young. And nothing against Dalton, but I think the Bills are pissed off and they're going to take it out. They've lost two in a row and I think they're going to destroy Carolina.
You know, I want to pick that one too. That was the other one I was looking at. But I think instead, there's just some games that are so difficult.
I would even stick my neck out. I think they're going to win by 14.
Okay. You know, I want to touch that Indianapolis Colts game. I wish that was just a 7-point spread.
You got your heart in play, don't you?
You know what though?
I got mine. If you're not ready,
I'm going to put my faith in Baker Mayfield. I'm going to go Tampa Bay to go up by at least 4.5.
Well, he's a bread influencer. That's what the commercials say because he bakes.
That's true.
I went my third and final leg of my 3-leg parlay. I like the New England Patriots. I think this is a game to where I think at home against Cleveland, I don't think that rookie's prepared for a defense like New England, the Gabriel kid for Cleveland. So I think New England is going to cover that 7. I don't think it'll be a ton, but I think they'll beat them by 8 or 9. So I'm going Patriots.
All right.
Did you do your 3?
Yeah, that was
That was all 3. Yep. Okay. All right. So we got our 3 picks. I think we're ready. All right. Now we've got, what do we got next there, Stud Muffin?
All right, so when we get back to you guys, we're going to do our power rankings going into week 8. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with our week 8 power rankings. Starting off the bat, Dad, you want to go ahead and read through your week 7 power rankings in order just so they kind of know what we're
going
off
of? What we did have going in, you mean?
Yeah, what we had for what we thought week 7 would look like.
All right, 15, we had the Chargers. Number 14 was the Falcons. Number 13 was the Jags. Number 12 was the Niners. Number 11 was the Chiefs. Number 10 for me was Denver. Number 9 was the Steelers. Number 8 were the Hawks. Number 7 was the Colts. Number 6 was Philadelphia. Number 5 was the Rams. Number 4 was Green Bay. Number 3 was Buffalo. Number 2 was Detroit. And my number 1 was Tampa Bay.
And real quick, where was your Colts again?
My Colts were number 7.
That's awfully low for a team that's the best in the NFL.
Is that how you're dropping it? You're dropping knowledge already?
I'm just stating a statistic right now.
All right.
From 15 to 1, my week 7 power rankings were Commanders, Patriots, Steelers, Broncos, Chiefs, Jaguars, 49ers, Eagles, Rams, Seahawks at number 6, Packers number 5, Lions number 4, Bills 3, Colts 2, and Buccaneers 1.
Okay. All right. I can dig it.
All right. So for our week 8 power rankings, Dad, why don't you tell us your number 15 team?
My number 15, I had an honorable mention, but we'll leave it out. My number 15.
Well, no, hit us with your honorable mention.
I have them bounced out. I dropped them out of the top 15. For me, it's Atlanta Falcons. They're out.
See, I didn't even have them in my
15.
Yeah, okay. They weren't in there, but my Jacksonville Jaguars are my honorable mention. They bounced out.
Mine did too. So that being said, number 15 for me, entering the top 15, the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
I have the Bears in there.
Interesting. Okay, so my number 15, also entering my power rankings for the first time this season, is the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
3-1.
You'll see where I'm going. Good job. There we go. My number 14 is the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, my number 14, they dropped pretty significantly because they were... Oh, wait, maybe they weren't. Maybe they weren't even on my list. Actually, hold on. weren't even on last week's list. So joining us on the list, which is interesting coming off of a loss here, just my brain, the Chargers.
They bounced off mine.
Yeah, see, they barely scraped.
They were barely on mine last time, 15. They were barely there.
Yeah, see, my lower teams, the one moved up, the one dropped off, and so I needed to put them up there just based off record alone. But they're very unpredictable, not very good team.
No, I gotcha. I have another one that this was my honorable mention last week, and now they're in, and I had to give them some love. They're in at number 13. That's the New England Patriots.
Ah, okay, we're close on that. Yep. My number 13 is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They did... Okay. They stayed exactly the same. They were 13 on last week's ranking. They didn't play very well, but that was a very interesting game, to say the least, the Icy Hot Bowl.
Well, so there we go. That is my number 12 team, Pittsburgh. So they on mine, they dropped three for me. I had them at 9.
See, and I had them 13 last week. I don't know how to feel about them. No, my number 12, though, is the Patriots. They're up. They were number 14 on my list last week, but they bumped up twice.
They're pretty good. This team I left right where they were. What number are we at? Are we at 11?
Yes.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I did move them up one. I have the Denver Broncos.
You and I both moved them up one. They went from 12 to 11 on my list as well. Wasn't a clean win. Wasn't a beautiful win, but it was a win.
There we go. And then my next one up, where am I at here?
Number
10. Make sure I have my list right. Okay, I have the San Francisco 49ers. I did move them up two notches because they keep winning.
So my number 10, they actually dropped a couple spots from number 8. It is the Philadelphia Eagles.
The Eagles. Okay. All right. Oh, wait. Do you?
They're just not playing as well as you'd want them to, in my opinion.
Okay. We differ miles. Okay. Here we go. My number 9 moved them up two notches on my list. I have the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. Yeah. My number 9 is also the Chiefs. They went up two notches as well. They were number 11 for me last week.
Yep. My number 8, I moved them up one notch. Probably not enough for you, but offense was sketchy this week. Defense was great. Seahawks are up to number, I moved them up to number 7. What am I?
You're at number 8.
Yeah. Number 8. Yep. There we go.
My number 8 is the 49ers, which that is a jump up by one slot from last week's ranking.
Next up, this is my biggest drop. One of my biggest drops, I think. Second biggest drop. I have the Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
Yeah. What number am I at? I'm sorry.
Number 7.
Number 7. I'm sorry. Number 7, Buffalo Bills.
So my number 7 is the exact same where they were last week. It's the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh boy, are we miles apart. Okay. That's number 6. You're going to hate me for this. I dropped them from the first spot all the way down. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You are now in 5.
Wow.
I just think they're in the infirmary. This team is they're going to have a stretch here. We're going to see how it goes.
So that was your number 6?
My number 6, yep.
So my number 6 and 5 from last week has just swapped spots. My number 6 is the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers. Okay, we're getting close now. My number 5, you're going to hate me for this. My number 5, I'm not saying I don't believe in him. I still moved him up, but it's the Indianapolis Colts at number 5. I know.
What does this man have to do?
He has to do it when we're talking December. That's what I'm going to tell you right now.
Well, my number 5 should be number 1, but we're getting there. It's the Seattle Seahawks, number 5.
Oh, you're giving them some major love. I like it.
You know what? There's 3 5-2 teams in our division, and I think we are better than the Rams and 49ers.
All right, fair enough. For me, number 4, I have the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
I left them right where they were. I think they're a team that's still good. They got a decent record. We'll just have to wait and see.
So my number 4 dropped down from my number 1 spot. It's a pretty decent fall there. It is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at number 4.
Okay. All right. Number 3. Here we go. This is where you're going to lose your mind on my next 2. Lose your mind. My number 3 is the Philadelphia Eagles at number 3. Here's my thing. I know you're saying they should be playing better. They're still winning. They're still looking good. And their defense is good. I think they're going to start gelling, and they started throwing the ball to those boys big time.
They had a good game offensively, especially with their passing, for sure, but I just don't trust Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Hurts, sorry. Jalen Hurts, yeah, even though he won a Super Bowl.
Okay. Yeah, well, he won a Super Bowl off of Saquon bringing him there and then finally him learning
how to
throw.
But even the Super Bowl, don't forget the Super Bowl he lost to Kansas City. The dude almost threw for 400 yards. He did everything he could.
I was more impressed with his Super Bowl performance the first time he was there rather than the second time, but I'm happy he beat the Chiefs the second time. That's obviously true. Everybody was happy he beat the Chiefs. My number 3 is the Buffalo Bills, 4-2.
Yeah, I had them taking a big – I think they can recover, but those are two ugly losses.
They're very ugly losses. I'm hoping that this
England
was what they needed.
Slapped them around at home, so I'm like, yeah, okay. Number 2, you're going to hate it. L.A. Rams I have as number 2. I think
– wild.
I know that team's in our division, but Stafford is playing out of his mind good. Here he has no Nacua. He goes out there, and he just throws the ball all over the place. Davante Adams looking like the stud that he was from back in the day. Kyron Williams and a defense with linebackers that are so young and so good. I think they're dangerous.
Okay. And that was your number 2. My number 2 is the Detroit Lions, 5-2. Mm-hmm. I think that was a very dominant victory they had.
Oh, I know what you did.
Yeah, you know exactly what I did. Yep. I think they had a great, great, great victory that they absolutely needed to have against the Buccaneers.
Okay, and my number 1, and here's what you're going to have to tell yourself, stud, because I know what yours is. I'll say mine. You can say yours. Mine is the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. I think that team is rocking and rolling on all gears. I think, yes, that first game was not so good for them, but they've been on fire since.
Yeah, the number one team in the league is also the number one on my power rankings. That's the Indianapolis Colts. Danny Dimes, 6-1. This dude is absolutely killing it. That team is functioning so incredibly well. They are dominating their wins. I just, how do you not love them?
So let me ask you a question then. Would they beat Detroit?
Yes.
Head to head. Okay, see, and I say no. I don't think they could beat Detroit. I don't think they could beat Buffalo head to head. I think they could get Green Bay and Philly. And I don't think they could get the Rams. So that's why my mind goes, I get it. But were you looking up who they beat?
Well, no. I know that they've beat easy teams. I'm not blind to the fact that they've been beating some easy teams. I think the Chargers is probably one of their better teams that they did beat.
Because don't forget, don't fall into this trap, son. You know who else was 4-2 last year at this time?
Oh, it would have been, the Saints. No.
It could have been. It was the Bears.
Because the Saints, remember, they started off with like crazy point differentials
junk
and then
teams.
Fell apart.
And Bears went 4-2, beating junk teams. What happened after that? They lost 10 in a row and ended up 4-12. I'm not saying at all that they're the Bears. They're not. They're way better. But do I think they could beat some of the powerhouse teams? I personally don't. Time will tell. You'll have to tell me if they've got anybody coming up the road.
So their next four games, there's really only one I think that is a powerhouse team. They're playing the Titans next, which that should be an easy W. Yeah.
Yep.
They're playing the Steelers, which I think they've got that one pretty handily.
They should. They're better.
Then they play the Falcons, where I don't know which way that'll go. But then on November 23rd, they play the Chiefs. And that'll be when we really can see what they've got in there. After that, they play the Texans, Jags, and then us on December 14th.
See, they've got a nice path. So we'll have to see. Like I said, I'm not debating you. I mean, I think, you know, you're definitely worthy of it. I definitely think the Colts, I mean, they cracked my top five, Tommy. What more do you want out of
them? I want them to be number one. I think Daniel Jones is busting his butt trying to get there.
I think this team's going to win their division. I think they're going to be playoff bound, but I do not see them beating the Chiefs or beating Buffalo. I don't see them being the top tier. I think they could get a home game, and that's as far as they're going to get in the playoffs.
I don't know. I'm thinking Super Bowl, Daniel Jones MVP.
Which would be Cinderella awesome story stuff. Don't get me wrong.
He's the Nick Foles of this generation. So
he could be.
He's going to come in and dethrone Pat Mahomes or some crap.
He could be Flacco if you think about it. Flacco only got there. He only had a very short career, but he won a Super Bowl.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's the Broadway Joe Namath of this century.
He really is. I like it. Okay. I like our deals. I like our bets. I think Hawks get a break this week. We're off.
Is nice.
We get a bye. I like that too. Hopefully you can read my chicken scratcher, son.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I know. I was making my little notes so I knew what they were moving up. The Seahawks get a bye, and I can't remember who we come off the bye. I will say this. I'm a little sad. I know this is all football, but remember, we're Seattle fans around here. I have to tell you, I'm a little sad as we're recording this. Last night, the Mariners lost a very pivotal game seven, to get to the World Series by one run. And it was very heart-wrenching to see us lose it in the eighth inning. We lost our lead, and it was crushing.
And we finished it off by striking out three in a row.
Yeah, no. But, you know, what we're going to say here is we're not big on big market clubs that just buy pennants. So one thing we're going to say is go Blue Jays. I hope you guys take them.
Yeah, at this point in time, Blue Jays are America's team, even though they're Canadian. because nobody wants to see the same stupid teams always getting the big wins in the MLB. And again, like you just
said, Dodger fans, I think that's about the only one.
Dodgers fans, Dodgers and Yankees, obviously they are well-renowned, and Red Sox to a degree, but they don't spend nearly as much, I think, as the other two. But it's just one of those bummer things, and it's what separates the NFL from the MLB is you need to cap how much teams can spend, because all it does is you get rid of parity and you can buy a win.
People have been saying that forever, and I agree. Baseball needs a salary cap. I know this is a football one, but you're right. In comparison to football, figure it out, guys, because baseball's great. It was fun getting back into it. It was fun having a team in Seattle that was relevant. That was all great. But in terms of what does baseball need to do, it needs to model itself after NFL. Mm-hmm. Which is parody. It's bring because you want that, right? You like it that it's new teams. It's cool that we're talking about, like, if the season ended today, the Carolina Panthers would be on the cusp of making the playoffs. The Indianapolis Colts win their division. Mm-hmm. The Falcons are sitting there in a pretty spot to make it. You know, so to me, I mean, the Cowboys, you know, who are okay. I mean, but they're right now today, they're on the verge of making it. I mean, there are just a lot of great storylines that are out there that in baseball, sometimes you get it, but more times than not, you end up with the same two teams
all
every
time.
Yeah.
Nope. I mean, this season of the NFL, perfect example. Who could even begin to predict what we have been seeing these first 7 weeks of the
Absolutely.
NFL? Nobody
and
can predict.
Great games. I mean, so many good, fun games to watch.
Yes. Well, thank you guys on behalf of Desert Highway Radio and myself and my father here on Generational Talent. We thank you for listening. Remember to tune in every week as we break down the NFL season. Catch you guys NFL Week 8.